July 15th, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 44. Oh, hell yeah, everybody. It's me, the J-Strom, here at the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Here we talk movies, TV, and all that stuff. And to my left, I have the Pop Culture Zealot, Steven. How are you doing, Steven?
Doing good this week.
That's good. I'm glad you're doing okay. Last week, you were spreading tuberculosis throughout Mulberry, and you've been in a sanitarium all week, and you're much better. Hey, wow. Bill, how's it going? It's the Mulberry historian, Mulberry Bill. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
That's terrific.
Did you take your calorie mate today?
Yes, I did.
Because last week, you know, it gave you all sorts of energy to do the show.
Yeah, I really needed my chewy turd of calorie mate.
Also, you know, it'd be nice if Vanessa was here with us. You know, we do the show and she's never on time. Where is Vanessa? That's what I want to know.
No clue.
Hey, it's Vanessa. What are you doing here? Just sneak up on us. You know, I've been watching a lot of news stories this week more than usual, and there's this thing. Did you guys see this about this kid phone ring? How only kids can hear it, and they could take it to school and send text messages, and the teacher can't hear it, so the teacher doesn't know they have phones. Have you guys heard this?
No.
Yeah, it's like
heard
this.
Something about it, but I don't know.
It's like this low pitch ring that if you're too old, basically you can't hear it, or you're, you know, when you're hearing, well, some people's hearing really does fade over time because they, you know, bass in their car, yeah, like stuff like that, they jam that real loud and they lose their hearing. So I don't know if any of those people that have bass mobiles who go to high school will be able to hear those rings either. So let's check this out and see if any everyone be truthful if you can hear this or not.
It's a ringtone that many adults cannot hear. See if you can hear it. Thank God I heard it. That is a high-pitched ringtone that many older people cannot hear because of aging ears. Students in class use it to receive text messages, and teachers cannot hear the sound.
Did everyone hear it?
Yes.
I heard it.
Yeah, it's a really irritating sound.
It's a real high pitch.
I didn't hear that. I just heard a click, click.
Uh-oh.
Somebody's hearing is messed up.
Somebody's
old.
You
already knew that. I lost my hearing in the military, so I'm already at a disadvantage.
How did you lose your hearing in the military?
Well, I worked in microbiology, and I was around a lot of different types of bacteria, and it caused a horrible infection in my ENT system, which degraded my hearing.
Well, I thought you were going to say a government experiment. I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah,
by
that's
this
what
story.
It was. Yes.
She was working at Area 51.
Yeah, I was around some pretty bad bacteria. So, well, I mainly have a problem with lower tone.
You're a slut. You dress like a slut. You look like a slut.
Foggy, stop it. That's just wrong. That's not what kind of bacteria she's talking about. At least I hope not.
Well, I saw bullhead gonorrhea. Trust me, you don't ever want to see that. I think Bill knows what it is. That's why he's saying
that. Yeah. I've seen that stuff before.
Right.
Well, we
the
got
internet is a very disgusting place
at times. It's a cesspool.
Well, you know what the amazing thing was, is I was just maybe an E1 or E2. I was a student at the time, and all of us had to do a round where we had to learn in the VD clinic, where people coming back stateside from overseas assignments had to come in and get checked for STDs, because, you know, it's prevalent, going to prostitutes. So we had this poor, the guy who had the bullet gonorrhea was 18 years old, and he got it on his first time ever. And the psychological part was worse than the physical, so he kept swearing up and down he's never going to have sex again because of it. So it was pretty bad. I felt badly for him.
Wow, that's got to suck, man. He got bullhead gonorrhea and got the girl pregnant. So it's like, man, I have the worst luck. Another thing I saw in the news, sometimes there's really, you know, I look for news breaks each week, but this story was ridiculous. You guys just got to check this out. It's a woman who calls 911, but it's not exactly an emergency.
Oh, no.
911, do you need fire, medical, or police?
No, ma'am, I don't. I don't have an emergency. Two police officers just left my house just now. Could I get their names, please?
Was it...
Just the music turned down. He was the cutest cop I've seen in God knows how long. I just don't know his name. Sorry, I know it's not an emergency, but heck. It doesn't come very often a good-looking man comes at your doorstep. Could you throw him back my way?
So the lady called 911 to find out a cop's name who was cute.
I just love a man in uniform.
Well, it's funny. What's funny about that story is the cop did return to arrest her for
making
her.
I know, isn't that funny?
And they said something like a $6,000 fine. Isn't that kind of steep?
No, I don't think so.
Let's go downtown, baby.
Why didn't the lady think to call the station and find out his name?
Because she's a fucking retard.
It's like that lady who called 911 from what was she like at Burger King? Yeah.
I want my hamburger.
And they're like, this is for emergencies. What exactly do you want us to do about it?
I want my hamburger.
Let's go ahead and do entertainment. What do you say? We've covered a lot of movies already that have come out or are coming up. Clerks 2, The Lady in the Water. Our favorite Veronica Mars is... She's going to be in a movie called Pulse. Or is it The Pulse? I don't
know. Sounds so threatening.
Yeah. Ooh, Pulse. Ooh, scary. No, but what it's about is that in our cell phones, these aliens send us text messages.
Sweet.
But I think it's... The whole movie's an allegory to spam, trying to sell stuff, I think. But anyway, the movie, it's like aliens or something are trying to get through your cell phone. So if it rings, don't answer it, I think is the moral to the story.
This sounds extremely similar to a Japanese film I saw.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's a remake.
Remake alert! We seem to be, like, making a lot of Japanese horror movie remakes.
Yeah, in fact, I know I've seen this. It's a Kiyoshi Kurosawa film.
All right, well, the movie's called Pulse with Kristen Bell. It also has the guy from Lost in it.
Ian Somerhalder.
Played Boone on Lost. Yeah, let's check this out. It looks really scary, you guys.
Nightbreed.
There are people on my computer.
A frequency has been uncovered.
It has to be a virus.
Did you open it?
Yeah.
I did too.
Between our world...
Who are these people?
...and the dead.
How long have you been watching?
Uh-oh. I always hate when the dead's involved.
Zombies making text messages?
Yeah.
The signal is growing
stronger. They've learned to dial.
They were looking for a door and we gave it to them.
The message is spreading faster.
Oh my god.
When you look them in the eyes, you're infected.
Oh my. Sounds like a really bad venereal disease.
Pulse.
This thing is worse than bullhead gonorrhea.
That thing is worse.
So that's Pulse.
Wow, you know what? That sounds really great. I'm going to go out and see it right away.
It sounds scary as hell, you guys. That's all I got to say.
Unless there's an unrated edition where Kristen Bell dances around nude, I'll pass.
Yeah.
I hear that's in the works.
Yeah.
Terrific.
That's
I'm there.
That's the sequel, man. So, obviously, we have a slow movie week. Am I
we
right?
We have a mediocre Japanese horror film remade into a mediocre American horror film.
Now, before I, which has happened a lot, like
Blackwater,
there was
Ring. Who I was the same writer director there.
I thought The Ring was really good, the first one. The second one. Jesus, what the hell was that?
I didn't even see that.
But also,
one.
There's The Grudge, which I didn't think was great. Well, the problem is it was incoherent. I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
All right, guys, let's check out what's on our TiVo.
And now, a Mulberry News Break.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton community. Many of you bring binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. I got to look up in the tree. Who else in the leprechaun say yeah?
Yeah! Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff and it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
This guy, helping to direct traffic, says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This was our spells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute, which has been passed down from thousands of years ago from my great-great-grandfather, who was Irish. I just came to help out.
Others just came to get lucky in hopes a pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
I'm going to run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I want to know where the gold is. I want the gold. Give me the gold. I want the gold.
The face, the eyes, the nose, the mouth.
The front of the
mouth. Right here.
It's just a face, and right now he's not happy. I'm not kidding. That's a frowning face.
Oh my
a leprechaun. It looked like, last night it looked just like a little leprechaun.
What the hell was that?
One of my favorite news stories ever. That thing cracks me up every time I hear it. It's the idea of suggestion where one guy says, "Hey, you see that leprechaun? Yeah, I see that leprechaun."
It's just like it's like the Virgin Mary. You know, do you see the Virgin Mary?
Who else in the leprechaun say yeah?
Yeah. All right, guys. America's Got Talent is still on the air for some reason, and it's getting good ratings, even though no one I know is watching it. Yes, it is. On this week, David Hasselhoff, or The Hoff, as we call him, lets us know what he thinks about jugglers, and this juggler in particular.
I just like jugglers, but this is a million-dollar competition, you know? And some of the talent that we've seen on this show is far superior to what you're doing. I think what you're doing is great. It's great for Santa Monica Boulevard, but not for this competition. Oh, gee, I'm sorry, I have an opinion.
Wow, he got kind of tacky there, didn't he? So what does he have against jugglers? Bill and I have this new act. We set ourselves on fire and juggle chickens, and we're called the Flaming Cock Jugglers. And I'm really upset about this because I want that $1 million. But that's not the real...
I think we have what it takes.
Here's what really happened on the show.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, I have an opinion.
Oh, my God. Oh, yep.
So he killed some people.
He killed the juggler.
Yeah.
And then he shot the balls.
Excuse him for having an opinion.
He killed I'm sorry, I have an opinion.
He killed the giggler, man.
But I did ask the Hoff what he thought of our show.
I vote yes.
Yes! He loves Nowhere in Mulberry. Now, this week on Last Comic Standing, from what I believe is someone was kicked off the show for breaking rules, right?
Yeah. Yes. Gabriel Iglesias
twice.
Was booted.
Now, let's go ahead and listen to the clip, and then we'll talk about it.
Drama! Drama! I hear that Gabriel was doing something a little fishy. I thought it was potentially sexual, so I opened my eyes.
All right. You caught me, but since you caught me, I'm going to do it on camera.
The turns out, yeah, he had smuggled a BlackBerry, which I didn't know what that was because I'm poor, but apparently it's some sort of electronic device that you can use to talk to people, like a cell phone, which I knew for a fact.
She doesn't know what a BlackBerry is?
Gabriel being in touch with anybody that's not on the house phone, it's a breach of our contract.
Uh-oh. So was the guy kicked off after that?
He was given a warning, and the BlackBerry was taken away, and then that night,
at like 3 in the morning,
yeah, and made another phone call to his girlfriend, and admitted it, and while on camera and on mic.
What was wrong with this guy? Why did he?
He's a moron.
He's an idiot. He obviously doesn't care. He's, from what I understand, he's already a pretty well established comedian.
Maybe you think he wanted off? He wanted out?
Probably.
Maybe he's just a little bored.
Do you think if he wouldn't have gone in the middle of the night to make that call, he just had the BlackBerry confiscated, do you think they still would have kicked him off? Or do you think he did both? That's what the reason they kicked him off.
Because he did both. He broke the rule twice in one day.
Was he funny? Do you think he had a chance?
He was one of the top three, probably. Top three. He wasn't the funniest. He wasn't going to win.
I didn't think he was funny at all.
No, me either.
He looked
familiar. I thought he was horrible.
So no one cared that he got kicked off.
All he did was laugh. That's all he did.
He laughed really loud and obnoxiously. That's what he did.
So he's gone, and that's
the best thing. The best thing for the show was when they roasted him.
Even that was
horrible. But it was funny because they tore him up pretty good.
Well, how did they react once he was kicked out? Were they happy, or they just like a dumbass?
They were all kind of like freaked out because big deal. Okay, carry on.
Yeah,
they didn't care that much.
Yeah, and now America votes.
Only two deserve to be there.
And because America votes, it's going to come down to Chris Moore and Josh Blue. Josh Blue is going to win.
Now, with the final vote on who gets selected, is it an America thing, or do judges do it?
It's all us now.
Who do you guys want to win right now at this point?
I think Chris Moore deserves to win, but Josh Blue will win.
Josh is funnier than Chris.
I think Chris has better material than Josh.
I think he's got more material, too.
Yeah, but Josh has an incredible stage presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing from that Chris guy, Chris Moore, is his voice is just funny. He's got the right sarcastic tone, which I think is really good.
Yeah, he's good. I like him. I either one of them, if they win, would be fine with me. Doesn't matter. But I'm going
to
go for Chris Moore. I'll vote for Chris Moore.
Have the previous winners gone on to greatness?
No.
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 Does anyone know where they are?
No.
No. No. And you know what? Thank God, because they sucked.
So either one of them win or better than the last two guys that won.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they might have a better chance of going even a little further than either one of the previous two winners.
All right, so, Steven, you watched Rockstar Supernova this week, am I right?
Oh.
And you tell me it was painful, but there was this chick named Zyra or something.
Something like that.
Zardoz.
Her name was Zardoz. Yeah. It's a great performer, I guess, but it has nothing to do with, like, you'd think Tommy and Lee, Jason Newsted, their kind of music.
What the hell is Jason Newsted doing there? I mean, he was like a legitimate musician for a lot of years with Metallica. What is he doing?
He's still a second banana, though, because he wasn't part of the original Metallica lineup.
The way I understand it is he quit Metallica because he was just there to play bass, and they never got any input from him, basically.
He was a puppet.
Yeah.
So
that's why I would say he's qualified to be there.
I think that Tommy Lee is like, dude, man, it's Supernova. You can do whatever you want.
And I don't know who this other... There's another guy on there.
I still don't know who he is. I could easily look it up online, but I don't want to. So
it's a matter of caring, and we just don't care.
So let's check out what happened this week on Rockstar Supernova.
Hey, I can't say that you don't give it your all every time you perform, but I gotta tell you, I don't think you have a clue of what we're looking for in a singer.
You haven't told me.
Do you even own any record that any of us have ever been on?
I've heard of your music.
Oh!
Oh. Baby, I was wearing diapers when that was out.
Oh!
Whoa!
Whoa!
started.
What a tool.
What is wrong? Oh! Why is Dave Navarro on the show? Does he need to be on
there? Because he also has no talent.
But I mean, is he like the MC? Is he the Jeff Probst of the show?
Yeah, he's the MC.
Job is to come on with a shitload of makeup, fishnet stockings, and read a teleprompter.
Hey, look, guys, I pierced another nipple.
Hey, look. I'm famous because I played with the Chili Peppers for a little bit in Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, it's just the guy's
and
annoying.
And they both,
I don't know
both bands kicked me out.
So, Steven, will you ever watch Rockstar Supernova again?
Maybe bits of it, but probably not a full episode.
Is there? Are there any of the contestants that are, like, hot or you think really have talent?
There's one. There's a, and I'm not saying she's not hot. It's this woman who just looks too old to be on there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, what the hell is going on there?
And, I mean, she's got these crow's feet from hell on her eyes.
Yeah.
You know, she just looks like she's probably about 10, 15 years too old to be on there, you know?
Yeah, I saw her, and I was like, what the hell?
It's like this. But, I mean, well,
is
I guess he's...
Grandma?
She's got to be close to their age, you know?
Right.
To Tommy Lee's
age.
Oh,
she's about 10 years plus on... There.
No, because I'm bet she's one of them. Major she's one of them rock star chicks that had a hard life.
She's just got out of the methadone clinic and decided to try out for Rockstar Supernova.
Yeah, she just got clean. And,
yeah,
and she's gonna try it again.
Well, we'll see what happens on that show. Now, this week on Hell's Kitchen, Gordon Ramsay decided to do a little taste test on his contestants. Let's check this out.
Morning.
Good morning.
This morning we saw Gordon standing in front of a table with different little appetizer type thingies, and I had no clue what was going on.
Slightly different this morning. Sit down. Ladies, on my left.
Chef Ramsay has prepared what appears to be a high-quality gourmet buffet.
What I'm going to talk about is taste.
What the aspiring chefs don't know is that all of these dishes are fake.
So I put together some fondue.
Actually, it's spray-on cheese.
Pate.
It's really crushed hot dogs.
Caviar. Mm.
Mock caviar from a catfish.
I just like a meat sort of bruschetta, almost like a kebab.
Yeah, those are from a TV dinner.
We don't deserve to be eating caviar this time of morning. However, just taste.
After such a horrible night of service, chef's presenting me with caviar. Mmm.
Every time you put something in your mouth, you got to know what you're eating. Who's tasted the fondue?
I have. Nice and thick, coats your mouth nicely, sharp, creamy.
Heather, what do you think about the chicken and the pineapple?
I think they tasted really good.
Keith?
Yes, chef.
Favorite dish?
I like the pate, chef.
What do you?
I like the caviar. The stuff I've eaten before tastes like fishy, stinky. That is just
this
amazing.
Is good quality.
Originally, I tasted the caviar by itself, and I wasn't really that fond of it, but once you get everything on there.
Yep.
It just comes together.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't think any of you around the table this morning have any idea what you've been eating. Scott, please, don't be upset with me. You've got every right to be upset with yourselves. So, the fondue was a spray cheese. The kebabs, bruschetta, was a TV dinner. My pate was made out of crushed hot dog. And this bit here, we have a catfish, the mock fake caviar. They give it away, you can't even buy it. Here, you want to kill yourself? Take some fake caviar. No.
I was taking it seriously, and then he's like, ha-ha, it was catfish, hot dogs, cheese in a can, and a TV dinner, ha-ha. It's embarrassing.
Keith. No.
The pate tastes good. It's made out of hot dogs. Hot dogs are slamming.
Now I know where we are. You all have palates like cow's backsides, and we have got some work to do.
Hot dogs are slamming, you guys.
If I was him, I would just walk out at that point. Like,
hot dogs
you
are
people
slamming.
Are so incredibly incompetent. You don't know what in the hell you're tasting. The one girl, the arrogant one, oh, yeah, I really like that fondue. It coats your mouth. It's freaking
like
spray cheese, you idiot. Like, fondue tastes like spray cheese.
So basically all of his contestants is... season know nothing.
they know absolutely nothing about food.
Did even the Heather
shop for quality food at
even
Walmart.
The Heather girl didn't know?
No. Well, you know what? I think maybe she knew something was up because when he asked her about the kebabs, she said, oh, yeah, it's really really good. Like, she didn't want to insult him.
Right.
So
well,
I think she knew something was up.
That's what I was thinking about the whole thing. Aren't they worried that he prepared it? They're not going to say anything, are they?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Well, see, that's the other thing is Gordon Ramsay doesn't want to be, you know, patronized. He doesn't want people to kiss his ass because of who he is. He thrives on honesty, and that's what he really looks for in like a chef. And these people are just like, oh yeah, this is really good. Why not just say this tastes like spray cheese? This is really dry and horrible.
Right.
And this caviar doesn't taste like caviar.
He had a special guest, Mike Boogie, to try out the chicken patties. Let's see what he thought.
These things are fucking ghetto. Chicken patties, they're weird.
Well, at least he was honest. They were fucking ghetto. I don't know why that cracks me up, but it does.
Because it's funny.
Hot dogs are slamming.
What is wrong with that guy?
He needs a lobotomy.
Is that the guy from prison?
The guy from prison talks like he's white.
The guy, this is the same guy who rocks his pants. That's how I rock him.
That's
how I rock my pants, and hot dogs are slamming.
Well, look
hot
at
dogs
the
are slamming.
What the hell?
Should drop him in the middle of South Central L.A.
Boy, he needs to go in this neighborhood.
Who else in the Leprechaun say yay?
Leprechauns are slamming.
Leprechauns be slamming, yo. So that's Hell's Kitchen. Who got kicked off this week?
Rachel, the Texas. She's so stupid.
The Southern Belle.
And there was a bit of like a lesbian love thing going on there.
Yeah.
Heather and Rachel were like giving each other eyes, and it was like kind of creepy.
Was that invented for the show, though? Or
I don't know, man. But I have a feeling they're both. You know,
was that like creative editing, do you think?
No, I think they both prefer the female persuasion.
Now let's move on to Entourage. Now Entourage this week, Vince is trying to make Medellin. Am I saying the name right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I noticed like they, you know, Eric will say it one way and then Ari will say it another way. So Medellin.
Close enough for me.
Also, Turtles representing Saigon, the rap artist. And you may know his work from this.
Fuck off!
No, I have no idea if he does that. I'm just kidding. But he's catching the flame. He's a hot item. And Turtle's trying to get some management from Ari. Now, another thing is, the reason we found out last week is Aquaman 2 is starting at the same time as Medellin. Same start date. So now they're trying to buy time. What is it, 90 days originally?
Yeah, they want 90 days to shoot Medellin, and then, now they want to cut it down. Aquaman gave them 65 days.
Right, and they're trying to work with that with Paul Haggis. And Paul Haggis was on the show, and I thought that he was really good in it. Yeah, and I love when Drama's talking about, did you see me? What show was
in
that?
In the commish.
Did you see
me? Yeah, he goes, did you see me in the commish? Is the bulimic something
pedophile.
Or other?
Bulimic pedophile.
And he's like,
a bulimic pedophile.
I love it. Paul Haggis goes, no. No, I did not see that. No,
well,
let's
say how Paul Haggis, they were trying to come up with ideas for them to shoot in 65 days.
Yeah, right. And one thing was for him to cut a lot of scenes, which was great. Because he's saying, oh, we'll just cut this, and we'll cut this. And Vince's like, no.
Yeah, and then they invited Paul Haggis over. Yeah. Eric comes up with the idea to
split the movie in half. Do a skinny weight before the Aquaman and a heavy one after.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was a good idea. Except it seems like the
Warner Aquaman people don't want them to do Medellin at all, because they don't want Aquaman to be a drug dealer.
Yeah, they don't want Aquaman to be snorting coke on, what do you say, on 1,000 movie screens. Let's check out what the studio head said.
I can't risk all that having my Aquaman doing 3 hours of blow in every multiplex in the country. Right?
But Alan, I mean, you looked me in the eyes and you said that you do this for me. You gave me your word.
I'm sorry.
Alan, a man is only as good as his word.
Vince, it's just business, not personal.
Oh, just business. All right, then I want $20 million to do A2, or I quit. Nothing personal.
Sorry, I'm late. Date night with the wife. She thinks I'm getting popcorn. What I miss?
What the hell? Every episode
ends
like
that. I knew you were gonna do that.
It's too predictable. Turtle goes to Saigon to tell him about
oh yeah,
all the action he's getting. he gives him this gold necklace with he gives him this diamond necklace.
Yeah, it's
like,
supposed to be platinum.
It's huge.
And diamond.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, you know, what is
it's CD.
Yeah, he goes, it's CZ. What is that, cubic zirconium? Yeah. But I thought
but
that
I'll
was
replace
great.
It with diamonds later.
Yeah, and he's like,
this that thing was enormous. It was like a bulletproof vest.
It was so tacky. But that's another thing is Ari's like, hey, your life's going to change, Turtle. And I was telling Steven, it's like, is there anyone
less
more
deserving?
Less deserving of success than Turtle? Someone who's never worked a day in his life, you know? Just living off of Vince. I'm wondering where that storyline's going to go.
Was it you or Steven that said that the guy that Turtle's based on recently died?
Oh, no, it wasn't me.
Yeah, I was reading online that... the guy that the character of Turtle was based on, Mark Wahlberg's friend, recently died.
Wow.
Yeah. I tried looking up to see who these guys were that the characters were based on, but I couldn't find anything.
It's definitely interesting to see where the Turtle storyline goes. Because also, you know, it looks like they're going to have a battle for Vince to be in Medellin. Obviously, the studio doesn't want him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's saying $20 million. So he's going to get either let go, fired off of it, or they're going to give him the money.
Well,
I think it's also it's interesting that Ari is now willing to rep not only Turtle but
Drama.
Vince.
Yeah, I don't. I just think his he needs all the clients he can get. And another thing is, I didn't realize I'd never picked up on this before, but Drama said that the only reason everyone's here is because of me, and he's like, yeah, but the reason we stayed was because of Vince. Now, did Drama go out there to be an actor, and they went to stay with them, and then Vince got discovered while they were there? Is that what
I
it sounds like?
I think that outworks, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me, too. Poor Drama. He was on this bad show called Viking Quest. But see, I'm wondering how much it parallels the Wahlbergs, because you know that Donnie Wahlberg has had some success on TV and stuff, and he's
Donnie's had incredible success starting with Band of Brothers. He was awesome in that.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if that's going to parallel the show, and he's actually going to have some kind of big role, you know?
He was terrific in Boomtown, too.
Yeah, that was a short-lived show, but it was good.
That was a really great show that should have went on longer.
Because right now it looks like he's not working at all.
But then he gets, he'll probably
roles.
Get a movie like Saw 2.
Yeah. That's enough of Entourage this week. Can't wait to see what happens this week. Now let's move on to Big Brother. Now, Vanessa, did you get to see Big Brother this week?
Yes.
Both episodes?
Yes.
We had the nominations, the vetoes, and the eviction.
I saw the first episode.
I didn't see
the second one. I forgot all about the second one.
Big Brother is really boring this season.
Now, what happened on Tuesday is they try to play up the angle of Howie and Will kind of flirting
the
and stuff.
Thing, yeah.
It's just
where the hell did what are they thinking?
You know, they do a lot of funny stuff, but they're not really showing a lot of that on the show. They're kind of playing it up as a joke, like Howie has a crush on Will. But no, they're just playing each other, you know, and they're entertaining each other. This little bit here with Will teasing Howie was pretty good. Let's check it out.
You're obsessed with me.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
I mean, I put you on this pedestal back in Big Brother 2. You know, this ripped, funny, smart, outgoing, built guy with a great tan. And
am I your hero? Like, you can meet anyone and it's me?
Yeah, like, I gotta meet Dr. Will. It's like people go crazy over Elvis.
Howie and I have one thing in common. We're both attracted to me.
This is a very enlightening relationship for me as well, because I've never had a retarded friend. Thank you.
I loved Howie's look on his face when he said that. But first of all, we all know that Howie does not have a crush on him. He's just totally getting in with him for the game.
Yeah.
Howie's just doing his thing. On Thursday night, the eviction episode, Julie even said, "What's with this crush you have on Will?" And he was like, "What? What are you talking about?" He's like, "Oh, this is the angle we decided to go with this week, Howie. Sorry. We got to make up storylines."
Yeah, this season is really lacking in...
But, I mean, it's only been a couple weeks. There's only been one eviction. I think it'll...
I guess.
Now, one thing that... Allison was evicted. Either her or Danielle. I didn't really mind that she got evicted.
The poor girl with the only one with natural breasts in the entire house.
And the funny thing is, I'm pretty sure Danielle has natural ones, too.
No, they were talking... Her and Janelle were talking about boob jobs the other night.
Okay, Julie confronts Allison about the thing she called Janelle, and I thought this was kind of funny. Let's check that out.
While you were in the house, you've been pretty vocal about Janelle, okay?
Yeah.
You have called her fat, busto, a lying fat ass, and even a bitch. And this is a direct quote from you. You said, quote, I'm going to pull her out by her fake boobs and her fake hair and drown her in the pool. Wow. Allison, here is your last chance to say something about Janelle.
No, she's really not that bad, I promise. It's just the stress and just being caught up in the moment and the gameplay. No, I think Janelle's a great person, and she's a great competitor, and we'd probably be friends outside of the house. It's just that stress, and it's embarrassing to hear that I said something like that, so I apologize for that completely.
Yeah, I think they all do that. They all trash talk everybody on the show.
Two things we learned this week. One, Julie just really gets into reading that stuff.
Bitch.
It's like, whoa,
a
honey,
lying,
calm down.
A lying, fat ass, and even a bitch.
And Allison is just, she's creepy. Fat. Did you see the interview with her sugar daddy, the doctor?
Yeah.
He just seems so uptight. He's like, if she does some of the things she did in season four, well, then we're going to have to examine our relationship.
Yes, we might have to reevaluate this.
Like, buddy, you know, grow a set of balls.
Well, it's like the same thing with, they were talking to Jace about the new Jace, the family man Jace.
Oh, yeah.
And they kind of already talked about that on the last episode.
Didn't they do that in the first episode?
I think so.
I mean, they're really digging for material.
They are. It's like, you people do something. You're not really doing anything.
We've learned about you in the past several big brothers, and there's nothing new to learn about you uninteresting people.
So let's start making stuff
up. There have been some things that happened, though, this week that I thought were entertaining, but they didn't have it. For one thing, Allison hid in a vase at the bottom of the stairs to kind of listen to everybody, and you could see people walking around. They were walking by, and the camera zoomed in on her, and she was hiding in this vase, and no one noticed it, and they never brought that up on the show. And another thing that was pretty funny is late at night, Marcellus and Janelle were looking at all the pictures of everyone in the house, and they came up with this ridiculous soap opera, like a whole storyline. And it was really entertaining and funny, like Howie, he's the grab-ass mailroom clerk, and they just had all these funny ideas in there, and they had none of that on the show. They're trying to make stories out of nothing.
Well, they're trying to go for the more sensational stuff, and it just doesn't work.
Right.
The whole idea of Big Brother is, especially this season, all these people know one another.
Right.
So they've got a bit of a, they can start an easy conversation because they're familiar with one another.
Right. Well, there has been some scheming behind each other's backs and stuff.
Oh, sure. But even the scheming is lacking in, you know, viciousness.
Now, Vanessa, I want to ask you what you think so far.
It's kind of boring. It's, you know, the first season I liked it, but then I kind of...
Have you liked the competitions?
Not really.
We had the veto and the going through the garbage and all that.
What was the point of them dumping all that stuff on them?
It was just an entertaining thing to do, I guess. But don't bail out on it yet, Vanessa.
They watched Fear Factor a little too much.
The show has just started, okay? You got to hang in there. Just bear with me, all right?
Yeah, that did nothing for me when they were dumping trash all over them. Then they had to go through a trash heap.
Yeah.
I was cracking up at George.
Well, it was funny watching the people's faces when they dump stuff on him, and they're the big fat guy at the end.
He was like, man, I'm having a good time.
This is the cleanest
stick
I've been in a while.
When he was kicking the dirt up with the hockey stick, that was hilarious.
I'm going to pull
I was
her out
laughing
by her
out loud at that.
Her fake hair and drown her in the pool.
Well, the digging, the digging up stuff was okay. I mean, that was fine. But I mean, when they were pouring stuff on top of them, that's what was just.
No, see, I was laughing about this, and I may be a big dork, but whenever they do the confronting, like when she was confronting her about stuff she said about Janelle, that's no big deal. But when they do the goodbye messages, here's what so and so said. It's like, Allison, you're a great chick. I just have to look away. It's just embarrassing kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, the Erica message where she's crying.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to listen to this. And Nakoma's like, if you're out of the house, then you opened your big fat mouth or whatever. It's like, what?
Can someone please break into the house and put a bullet in Nakoma's head? Because I think it would be better for all of humanity if she was dead.
Well, it's funny. They ended up doing the HOH competition called Allison's Rules. Allison Rules. And it was true or false questions. And there was the hilarious question about who would gain the most weight in the house. And I have a clip of that. I just thought it was hilarious.
Question 4. True or false? The person Allison believes will gain the most weight in the house this summer is Janelle. If you think Allison answered true, turn your wheel to true. If you think she answered false, turn your wheel to false. Answers, please. Allison's answer was true. You both got it right.
I thought, and it was great. They showed Janelle's face like, what? That bitch, or whatever. But listen to this. Julie always messes up on all of these shows. They're all live. She's
completely incompetent. The only reason she's on that show is she's screwing Leslie.
No, listen, it's great. And she messes up at a critical moment, does she not?
On question
always.
Five.
Always.
True or false? Allison believes the all-star most likely to seek revenge by using someone's toothbrush to clean the toilet is Will. If you think Allison answered true, turn your wheel to true. If you think she answered false, turn your wheel to false. Answers, please. Allison's answer was false. Nokomis, congratulations. You are the new head of household. Oh, I'm so sorry. It is Kacer. My mistake.
Yeah,
Kacer, you are the new head of household. And Janelle and Jace, please hand over the key.
She was like, how did I win? I answered wrong. But also, Julie Chen looks like she has about 2 inches of base makeup on her face.
Well, she has had so many facelifts. I don't think they could pull her skin back any further.
Well, that's a great thing about the feeds, is they always talk crap about Julie and how stupid she is in the house and how she messes up. How do you think Julie's going to mess up this week?
But you know what else pisses me off is whenever they're really getting good deep into the conversation, cut to flames.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, come on, just let us hear it. Who cares?
Yeah, they don't like to, I guess, for people to do that.
I was watching the feeds, and Marcellus was sitting at the kitchen counter for God knows, it had to be like 3 hours, just tapping away at the countertop, going, they're not going to break me. They're not going to break me, because now they have to eat oatmeal. It's like Marcellus, Howie, Janelle, James.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who else. They all have to eat oatmeal. And Janelle was trying to make different things with oatmeal. She had oatmeal in the waffle maker, so she was trying to make an oatmeal waffle. She had it. Then she spread it real thin on a sheet pan in the oven, trying to make waffle breadsticks. She was like, I'm going to dip them in balsamic vinegar and oil. And everybody, you know, they're trying to figure out what to make with this shit.
Yeah, because PB&J, they would, like, use bread and peanut butter jelly, and they'd make some kind of weird cake or something. They try to change it up or whatever.
Yeah, so
there's
now
not
they,
much you can make with oatmeal besides oatmeal.
It's oatmeal and condiments.
Yeah.
So they can have oatmeal and any condiments. So
I guess I could get by on oatmeal
to make
and cinnamon
out
and
of it, or
that's all they can eat. Is oatmeal. That's what they have to eat. So they give them condiments, and that's all they can eat for every meal.
Yeah, Janelle poured
for a day
entire,
or for a week.
For a week. What it is they break off to two teams, and usually randomly, they just say, okay, split here. You guys compete for food privileges. Whoever wins can have all of this regular food with beer and stuff. You guys on this side, apparently you can only eat oatmeal. Since season 1 through 6, it's always been peanut butter and jelly. But this season, they changed it to oatmeal, which we haven't seen on the shows, by the way. We'll probably find this out on Sunday or Tuesday. But, yeah, they changed it to oatmeal.
When's the real Gilligan's Island going to start?
The real Gilligan's Island. Pretty soon. Now, Vanessa, you promised to hang in there. It can get good, all right?
I'll keep watching.
And you know what? Another, Vanessa, go to like hamsterwatch.com every day.
Yeah.
They always have a recap of everything that happens every day with screen caps, with pictures of stuff that happened. That way, you know, you can kind of keep up what's really going on. Because I swear, on the show, they edit it how they want people to perceive it. And a lot of times, it's not the same way. Like last season, Maggie got very favorable editing time on TV, but if you watch the feeds, you know what a scheming bitch she was.
She was a horrible, horrible person.
So that's Big Brother this week.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Want to get hosting for your podcast? Let me rephrase that. Want to get hosting for your podcast without paying a bandwidth bill? Then make the switch to SwitchPod.com. Take a look at SwitchPod's free podcast hosting, free to you and a small ad in your feed. Or you can get a premium ad-free account for as little as $3 a month. You're happy? We're happy. Switch it over and switch it on. SwitchPod.com. Podcast hosting the way it should be.
All right, Vanessa, you ready to do the news?
Busto.
All right, Vanessa, what do you have in the news this week?
In London, women going on boozy nights out have been warned by police to wear nice pants in case they fall down drunk in the street. A Suffolk Police Safety Campaign magazine shows pictures of young women slumped on the ground next to a message urging them, if you got it, don't flaunt it. If you fall over and pass out, remember your skirt or dress may ride up. The magazine states, you can show off more than you intended. For all of our sakes, please make sure you're wearing nice pants and that you have recently had a wax. Readers are told to stick with friends, book a taxi home, and watch the amount they drink. Police said the Safe magazine gossipy tongue-in-cheek style was designed to alert young women to the dangers they could face if they get drunk during a night out. We need to erase their awareness of the potential problem, said the magazine. They become more vulnerable whilst under the influence of alcohol. So,
wonder how long that took for them to discover that. It's a serious problem over in the UK, is they are just super boozers, especially this current generation. They will drink until the point where they pass out. They have this obsession with alcohol and drinking that is just extremely unhealthy. That's why they have to release, like, you know, I guess you would call this a public service announcement, because it happens, and it's every night.
So are there pictures appearing on the web of girls passed out with their skirts up over their
head? Yeah, and
upskirt photos.
And a lot of these girls that this is happening to are getting raped.
Whoa. Yeah, it happens a lot. Yeah, that's what I've always said to people, you know. I tell my daughter that. I said, you know, eventually when you do start drinking, never ever drink unless you're around people you trust that will take care of you if something happens, you know.
Right.
Because you hear stories of, you know, females that go out in a group and they all end up hooking up with somebody and leave their one drunk friend passed out on a couch. And then
the next thing you know, a lying fat ass and even a bitch.
Wow, Julie!
Yeah, you hear that a lot, and it's a shame because girls should be smarter than that. But they
And it's a serious, serious problem over in the UK. It's something that
really
they've even started to institute.
Is this like teenage girls or
no,
old ladies?
This is a legal 18-year-old and up to 30-year-old. You know, people going out for the night and just getting absolutely plastered until the point where they're sick and they pass out, and it's just it's a huge problem.
Against my manhood.
See, I would never ever get drunk, so to speak, which I don't drink very often anyway. But I would never drink around total strangers. Unless I had at least three or four of my friends that I know are very reliable. That wouldn't let me do something stupid, you know, that kind of thing. But you don't have. There are a lot of people who don't do that.
Yeah, if I go out, which is very rarely, like if I need to blow off steam, I'll go to like a Dave and Buster's and get a couple beers or something.
What about Mike's Hard Lemonade?
No, I'm sorry, that's the choice of
the number one drink of pedophiles.
the pederast drink.
All right, Vanessa, what other story you got?
All right, a Berlin postal worker who was caught with more than several thousand undelivered letters in his basement has admitted he was overwhelmed by the job. But
who's this, Newman?
The police recently found 90 boxes of posts stacked in his basement.
Oh.
The postal worker, identified as Thomas H., told Bild Newspaper Friday he was only temporarily storing the post at his house.
I never had a retarded friend.
I was going to burn it soon.
And friends would help him deliver it. There was just too much, and I couldn't deliver it all by myself.
This really is Newman from Seinfeld.
Yeah, he had 7 bags of undelivered. And Jerry delivered it all, and he was like, he got in trouble for delivering too much mail.
Yeah, he's supposed to lose a certain percentage.
Yeah, what was it? He did like 95%. Said, no one's ever topped the 80% mark.
So when a company doesn't, you know, I mailed it, and they're like, well, we didn't receive it. It's like, because some jackhole like this just threw in the closet. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, it's so overwhelmed. I mean, come on, if you're overwhelmed, you say something, you go, you know, I'm really overwhelmed, I need some help with this stuff.
Hey,
you don't
really
know.
Bad at this.
Maybe yeah, you know good. What?
I'm coming
I
in
know what'll fix it. I'll put them all in boxes and put them in a closet, out of sight, out of mind.
It's like, yeah, if he's coming in once a week and he's overwhelmed by the mail, that's one thing. Versus, you know, if he's doing it every day and he gets overwhelmed, yeah, there's something wrong with you.
All right. Also in Berlin, a 61-year-old German on trial for theft got himself into more trouble when he stole from the judge during his court hearing. Police in the central town of Coburg said that while facing her at the bench, the man pocketed a bunch of keys from the judge, who did not notice until he left the room.
Oh my gosh.
When confronted by court officials in the bathroom, the man, who had a string of convictions for theft, told them he had been shocked to discover the keys were in his pocket.
A klepto.
Wow. Yeah.
He told them he realized how suspicious the story would sound and that he had therefore hidden the keys under a toilet brush. He had been stealing all his life, so it's probably just an intuitive act. While the court officials decided what to do next, the man wrote a written confession to the deed. The theft meant that initial trial had to be temporarily suspended on legal grounds in case the judge showed bias in the case.
I'm going to kick your ass.
I think, how could you not show bias?
It's that's like, awesome.
This guy definitely has a problem.
Man,
think
that's complete
it.
Talent. I thought that maybe he stole the gavel.
No, if you think about something, it's genius because maybe he saw this judge was tough. So he knew if he got caught for stealing something of hers, he would get a different judge. It's pure genius.
I'm playing.
Somehow I don't think that was going through his mind at the time, Vanessa. You're giving him a little bit too much credit.
I think a lot. What it has to do is just to see if you can do it. Man, I did it. They're in my pocket.
I'm good
at
this.
Get him out
of the jail or something. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be genius if they were the keys to the jail cell. But luckily, the judges don't carry that around, I don't think. All right, what else you got, Vanessa?
All right, it's been more than a year since they went from best friends to bitter enemies, but Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie have agreed to renew their TV partnership for another season of Simple Life. Cable channel E! Entertainment Television, the show's new home since it was canceled after 3 years on the Fox network, said on Wednesday the feuding celebutants will return for a fifth season of their series in 2007.
What the hell's a celebutant?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I think it's their meshing of celebrity and debutante.
Poor little guys.
Featuring Hilton and Richie taking turns assuming the role of housewife for various host families. These families must be idiots.
No,
it doesn't work now because it used to be them together doing something, and now they hate each other so much that they can't be in the same room together, so they're with different families.
Yeah,
it's
they
so
do everything
stupid.
Separate.
Yeah, they're talking about...
Yoda loves The Simple Life.
He does.
Yeah, Fox said that the girls were still not talking when the current season was shot in March and April, they agreed to film some segments together. How nice of them.
I'll put up with her this time.
The first episode opened with a scene in which the two encounter each other in a coffee shop. Hilton enters with her dog, orders a cup of coffee, buys a cookie, and sends it to Richie's table, where a close-up of the cookie reveals the message written in frosting, "Good luck, bitch." The two then glare at each other.
Yeah, the thing is that the writers of the show wrote that scene. They didn't come up with themselves.
You're a slut. You dress like a slut. You look like a slut.
The funny thing is, Vanessa, I have David Hasselhoff. What he thinks of this season of The Simple Life?
I vote yes.
Whoa, he likes it.
Well, as long as anybody will jump in my car.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, I have an opinion.
All right, Vanessa, what else you got?
All right, finally, beer baron Peter Coors. His driver's license has been revoked by a hearing officer who ruled the executive had been driving under the influence of alcohol.
Uh-oh.
Ah, he took his work home.
How much you want to bet it wasn't his beer?
I know, exactly.
You've hearing got trouble. Scott
yeah, it would be great Friday. If he had Old Milwaukee or something.
Pabst. Hearing officer Scott Garber ruled Friday that Coors did not stop at a stop sign on May 28th and was driving intoxicated.
Oh! Snap!
Coors, who's 59, said he had consumed a beer about 30 minutes before leaving a wedding, and faces an arraignment and 30 days to appeal the revocation of his license. I made a mistake. I should have planned ahead for a ride, he said in his statement. For years, I've advocated the responsible use of our company's product.
I shouldn't have drank the whole case.
Yeah.
I promise, officers.
Yeah.
I had drinks.
I swear, officer. Now, that's another thing, is I think we all know them breathalyzers don't work right, Steven. Are we right?
No, you chew up a peppermint right beforehand, and it doesn't...
That's how it works. And the thing is, I mean, sometimes you're drunk, and they let you go.
What you need to drink is the peppermint schnapps because it tastes like you got the good breath afterwards.
I was so drunk, I was seeing leprechauns.
Who else seen the leprechauns say yay?
No, but I love me some oldie.
And then I had me hot dogs.
Hot dogs are slamming.
Well, his first breath test revealed a blood alcohol level of 0.073%. And a second, 20
That's
minutes
nothing.
Later, it registered a .088.
In Holy Colorado, shit! It improved! The cop was force-feeding him alcohol.
I know. A Colorado blood alcohol count of .05 results in a driving while impaired charge, while a count of .08 results in driving under the influence. So either way, he's screwed.
Wow. Now, Julie, what do you think of Vanessa doing the news?
I'm going to pull her out by her fake boobs and her fake hair and drown her in the pool.
Wow. That's pretty rude, Julie. All right, Vanessa, what else you got?
I want my money back.
What did you say?
I said, if I have fake boobs, I want my damn money back. That's all I've got.
Well, thank you, Vanessa.
A lying fat ass and even a bitch.
I just love the way she says that her enunciation.
A lying fat
ass
even
and
a bitch.
Bitch!
All right, Vanessa, thanks for doing the news. I really appreciate that.
No problem.
Bill, are you ready for some cult news?
It's nice, guy. Let's do it.
All right, Bill, what do you got with the cult news this week?
Let's start with our favorite cult, Scientology.
Busto.
All right.
Katie Holmes' parents are reportedly refusing to attend her wedding to fiancé Tom Cruise.
Oh, no.
The Top Gun actor plans to marry the Batman Begins actress while it's stretching
out. Yeah, it is.
The mother of his daughter, Suri, in a Scientology ceremony in late July or early August. However, Katie's devoutly Catholic parents, Martin and Kathleen, will not attend the nuptials because they do not approve of Tom's devotion to the bizarre sci-fi cult.
It's a
the
rumor
ceremony
that he's a Scientologist.
Will allegedly be conducted by Scientology leader David Miscavige. A family friend
You're
revealed to America's
rubbish.
Life and Style magazine that Katie's mom and dad are not happy with their daughter's choice of where to marry. It's also claimed that the former Dawson's Creek star, that's a little more like it, had hoped to have a separate Catholic wedding to appease her angry parents, but Tom is not willing to compromise.
Oh.
But we're just Scientologists.
According he's not Catholic.
According to the source, Martin Holmes allegedly said, if Katie can have a proper Catholic wedding, her whole family will gladly be a part of it. Since she began dating Tom, Katie has become heavily involved in Scientology and is reputedly planning to convert from Catholicism to the religion.
Recently, it's a rumor that she's a Scientologist.
Yeah, she is. I think
that's what the whole story's about.
Yeah. Thanks for that update there, Ellen. Recently, Tom's ex-wife, Nicole Kidman, was told by the Catholic Church that, in their eyes, she had never been married to the actor, as it had not been sanctioned by the church.
Nice.
Well, the thing is, I wonder if her Catholic parents are like those weird Scientologists with their rituals and all the stuff they do at that church.
Yes. Now let me go confess to
now let me go kneel and stand about 50 times and then eat some wafer and drink some Welch's grape juice.
And say 10 Hail Marys and 5 Our Fathers. And everything will be fine.
But I thought Tom Cruise said you could be a Catholic and a Scientologist.
That was such horseshit. You cannot. Because they,
Bill,
because
you can be both.
No, because they tell you that the devil and Jesus
we're just
and all the...
No, but they don't know that yet.
Oh, because they haven't reached OT3 yet.
Right. When you first get in...
That's how they fool you.
You can do it. You can be a Catholic and a Scientologist. You can do both.
Until they fool you.
And then when you get to a certain level of the brainwashing, you're like, oh my God, this is a bunch of crap. All of this Catholic stuff is just implanted by watching films.
Beady, beady, beady.
Good one, Vanessa.
I'll get you a fucking shine box.
Let me do one more Scientology story here. A man filming a documentary outside the Church of Scientology in Clearwater, which is supposed to be Scientology's Mecca, says he was attacked by a man claiming to be a Scientologist. Oh no, a crazy attacking Scientologist. But the Scientologist spokeswoman says the photographer Sean Lonsdale has been harassing their staff and members for weeks and that the fight was not a church incident. Lonsdale said his cameras have been pointed towards the Church of Scientology in Clearwater every day for 2 weeks. Basically, I'm filming a pseudo-documentary for one of our free-access Pinellas web channels. Oh, wow, that's
nice.
A lot of people are going to see that. Lonsdale's not hiding what he's doing. He posted a big sign near him that reads, Cult Watch, which is the name of the documentary.
I can't see why that would upset them.
Or draw attention to himself.
Catching, not pitching.
Lonsdale says on Saturday, a man identifying himself as a Scientologist came out of a nearby coffee shop and started arguing with him.
A
guy comes running across the street with a cup of coffee in his ham, yelling that I'm a... In his ham?
What's he doing with a ham?
Why did you put a coffee in a ham?
A coffee ham! Mm. That's what Starbucks is using now, is those, cup protectors.
Freeze-dried coffee ham.
It's delicious.
Yelling that I'm a religious bigot. That man, 52-year-old Michael Fitzgerald, was arrested after he and Lonsdale got into a fight about the filming. I picked up the camera again and started filming him, Lonsdale said. He went right for my face and my head. That's how Scientologists do
retarded.
It.
Retarded!
He backed me into a pole, to which I had no other choice but to defend myself. I'm sorry, that just doesn't sound right. Back me up into
dumbass.
A pole. No, please don't back me into your pole! The Church of Scientology is denying that Fitzgerald is a member or have anything to do with him. So they're obviously distancing themselves to this supposed Scientologist zealot.
They should.
And he amazingly posted a bond and is out of jail. I wonder who posted that bond for him.
Bitch.
Probably says L. Ron Hubbard on the check.
Rubber stamp.
Okay.
There is no such thing as a chemical imbalance.
Here's one that is quite interesting. Clearly, church founder Ruby Kelly must have been possessed by demons instead of the Holy Spirit on Sunday when she was blasting everything in sight in relation to the case of the sexual abuse of a 13-year-old girl involving members of her congregation. For those who are not familiar with the case, the girl was being given a ride home in a van driven by a deacon of the church when she was assaulted by schoolboys who were also in the vehicle, captured on videotape, leaked a copy of the tape to the Gleaner, and eventually the police got involved. The deacon and two of the schoolboys have since been arrested and charged. So far, so good.
Did they, like, rape her, or were they just... fondling? I mean, what was the extent?
They didn't... They're just saying it was sexual abuse. So it was obviously they were groping her or something.
What is a Gleaner?
I
think the Gleaner is a local newspaper in Jamaica.
What
or
the
whatever.
Hell kind of name is that?
Well, maybe they wanted the Cleaner, but Harvey Keitel has that. Now, okay, laughing man. Now this is where it all starts getting crazy. This Ruby Kelly apparently has major issues with what has transpired because her sense of reasoning has clearly gone out of whack. Why? The woman has gone out and slammed the members of her congregation who leaked the tape. Because of you, the name of 6 Dayton Avenue is all over the place,
she declared
on Sunday.
She got angry for someone reporting it?
Yeah, she's pissed at the people for leaking the tape, and
why?
Now her church has a bad name.
Good, it should.
Wow! This woman of God is actually putting the name of her church above the welfare of a 13-year-old girl who was sexually abused. You go, girl! That's the spirit!
Hello?
Yeah.
Who gives a damn about a teenager who well may be ruined for life because she was sexually assaulted right in front of a deacon of a church?
Yeah, he didn't do anything to stop it?
Yeah, who cares? After all, the Dayton Avenue Church is clearly above the law of the land in which it exists. It clearly exists in some kind of wonderland where anything goes. Once the name of Ruby Kelly's church is not brought into disrepute. And here is further evidence that Ruby Kelly and some of her church members are clearly neighbors of the famous Alice. In a time when the decent law-abiding citizens of Jamaica and the police are trying to break this ridiculous and dangerous informer stigma, Kelly stands before her congregation and chastises those members who, in the eyes of the majority, did the right thing. You gave up your own to be tried by the unbelievers. So this woman is obviously completely out of her fucking mind.
A tad bit.
How can you... I just, that totally confuses me, that a poor girl is sexually molested by a bunch of boys in a van driven by a church deacon, and now the head of the church is angry at her congregation because they reported it.
Shut it and watch.
Oh my God, is that what he said?
If it were her daughter, I guarantee you she wouldn't be having the saying the
yeah.
same thing.
And I think that leaves Cult News on a pretty good note there. It just shows
a
you
a good
how...
note? That's disturbing.
Yeah. I'm just saying that it shows you how incredibly
right.
Every religion, no matter what religion you're involved in, whether it is a cult or it's not considered
a cult.
Well,
all I know is this. I don't care if it's a cult, church, or whatever, but if you care more about the church's image than a human being, there's something wrong with you.
Exactly.
I vote yes.
Thank you, Hoff. The Hasselhoff.
Jump in my car. Burr.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, I have an opinion.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing Cold News this week. I really appreciate it.
I know you do, and that's why I do it every week.
Now, Stephen, how's your throat this week? Is it gone?
Mostly it's gone.
Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
Let's do the DVDs.
Ow!
Woo!
Let's do some DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah.
That was rotten.
Hot dogs are slamming, Bill. What's up in the DVDs this week?
Who wants to see a leprechaun?
Who else in the leprechaun say yay?
Yay!
we all see the leprechaun.
All right. DVDs.
Leave us a voicemail if you see the leprechaun.
DVDs for July 18th, 2006. Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
Oh,
the complete series.
Campbell.
Nice. Good stuff.
Yeah, all you Bruce Campbell fanboys, you can freaking grease your pants up and...
Grease your pants up?
Yeah, with some Vaseline, get it going. You know, and we all know how much you love Bruce Campbell.
Come get some.
Oh, you gotta pull.
What do you call fans of Bruce Campbell? Campbellites?
Campbellites.
Yeah, Campbellites. Or Deadites.
I think one of the most interesting things about the show, Briscoe County Jr., is it was co-created by Carlton Cuse, who is involved with Lost, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, you are correct, sir. Also, let's not forget about Jeffrey Boehm, who's no longer with us. He was like the hottest screenwriter in Hollywood back in the late 80s. Wrote such flicks as Lethal Weapon 2 and Indiana
Lost
Jones.
Boys.
Yeah, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Loved Lost Boys. My favorite.
I didn't.
Oh, come on.
Sorry, couldn't stand it.
Alex Winter was in it.
Whoa, you sold me.
Alex Winter?
Death by Stereo.
Yes, Death by Stereo.
Thank you, Corey. This set is really interesting because it's got your pilot episode with the commentary from Bruce and Carlton.
Cool.
It's got Briscoe's Book of Coming Things video catalog of the show's signature references to future items and ideas, the History of Briscoe County documentary, Tools of the Trade, reading from the Book of Bruce, Briscoe County Writer's Room Roundtable with key series creative personnel. It actually sounds pretty good. I was never a real big fan of the show.
See,
but,
this is the thing. I like the show, but here's the problem. It came on Friday nights, and I was not home on Friday nights at the time this came
party
on.
Party animal.
That's right.
I caught some of it in syndication, and what I saw I liked, but I wouldn't go out and buy the DVD set.
How long was it on?
Long enough to accumulate 1,385 minutes worth.
All right, Bill, what else?
Here's another TV series. Steven Spielberg presents Amazing Stories.
I think this
it's the complete first season of it.
That was very hit or miss.
Yeah, yeah, and it had some good episodes and some really boring ones.
Stinkaroos.
But it's got quite a few stars in it. I mean, you got John Lithgow, Kiefer Sutherland, Tim Robbins, Charlie Sheen, Kevin Costner. But this has all 24 episodes of season one, and if you're a fan of the show from, what was that, like 1985, pick it up.
Sweet. I will not either. It comes on Sci-Fi Channel. It's like one day a week in the Sci-Fi Channel, they show like 10 episodes all day long.
They do?
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite is whenever they show the early canceled show Time Cop. They'll show the entire season, which was like 7 episodes, and I'll sit there and just watch that thing every time it's on.
It's genius,
man. Talking about canceled
before
it's time. The one we were talking about before was Blade, the series. Have you seen any of those?
No, I have not yet.
Wow,
bad.
Oh yes.
Yeah, okay. It's
I've heard it was bad.
But you know what's
it's great.
You know what's
really
crazy? The hot chick from the Mercury car ads is in it. I'm picking up this DVD for sure. Best of She-Ra, Princess of Power.
All right.
Yeah. I loved He-Man and She-Ra. So, you know, I'll probably pick it up just so I can laugh my ass off.
Uh-huh, that's why. Huh?
Fat.
Yeah, I'm sitting in my basement masturbating to a cartoon. I mean, come on.
Won't be the first time.
That's true.
I vote yes.
I hated this show, but I know a lot of people loved it. Carnival, the complete second season.
I believe it was pronounced Carnivale. I love that Mexican show.
Carnivale.
Carnival. There are people.
Yes, it was one of those crazy Mexican soap operas like La Mosca or whatever.
You know, I never got into it. I never got into it,
but they're releasing the first and second season, or the first season again, along with the second season.
You know the show Rome that they had on HBO? Is it coming back?
Yes. No, it's coming back. It just won't come back for a third season.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay, okay.
This is important. This film was supposed to be the big screen debut of Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, I just read about this.
Bitch.
The film is called Edison Force. It stars Justin Timberlake, Morgan Freeman, LL Cool J, Kevin Spacey, John Hurd, Piper Perabo, Rosalind Sanchez, Carrie Elwes, Dylan McDermott. This was supposed to be a huge movie. Problem was?
It sucked?
It sucked. So what happened was, it got sent straight to DVD.
Which nobody will rent?
No, I mean, how can you have so many stars in a movie and then
Blood rain.
Well, true.
What the hell is Edison Force?
It's a young Thomas Edison
doing
his inventions throughout history.
Oh, it's his force to be reckoned with.
Try to withhold your...
His impressions on our history and how it affected mankind.
I think that'd be a movie I would watch.
It's something Steven is pulling out of his ass.
Yes or no! I have no clue what the movie
is. It says Academy Award winners Morgan Freeman and Kevin Spacey lead an all-star cast in Edison Force, a story of a corrupt city where the cops are above the law and the truth can get
you
killed.
Doesn't sound anything like Steven's description.
when rookie reporter Josh Pollock overhears a puzzling exchange between an accused
murderer.
And an arresting officer.
Rookie reporter.
Because all the known reporters, they would know who they are.
He's my clandestine. LL Cool J's name in the movie is Raph Deed.
Oh, yes. That says it right there.
So, Justin Timberlake begins to conduct his own investigation. What he finds is a lawless corp of cops who confiscate dirty money and split it between the most powerful men in the city.
What the hell is this movie? I've never even heard of it.
They're, like, trying to sum it up, and it makes no freaking sense.
I've never had a retarded friend.
All right. Edison Force. I can't wait to pick that up. Yeah, I love Thomas Edison historical movies.
Okay, all you Bruce Campbell fanboys can just keep the Vaseline in reach, because they're releasing Jack of All Trades, the complete series.
Oh, man.
You don't even have a clue.
Oh, wow. That show came on back-to-back with Cleopatra 2525.
Which is another classic.
Wow.
Never heard of it.
This is important. The original... The Pee Wee Herman Show live from the Sunset Strip's Roxy Theater. This is what the Saturday morning show spawned from. You know, this has Phil Hartman and Paul Rubens and all those people in it. It's the original stage production of the Pee Wee Herman Show.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to, you know, reminisce, I think I've seen it once or twice, like on cable or something, but...
It's definitely adult humor.
Yeah, it's very adult.
Now. They're showing Pee Wee's Playhouse on Adult Swim now.
Which is funny, because the show originally came on Saturday mornings, and why does it need to be on Adult Swim?
Marissa said it gave her the creeps. Like,
you know what? Adult
joke.
Swim is showing Saved by the Bell, for Christ's sake.
They were. They're not showing it anymore. They replaced it with Pee Wee's Big House.
Pee Wee's Big House?
That's when he was in prison.
Come join Pee Wee!
I'm mixing up with Big Top Pee Wee.
He's the warden of a Oz-like prison.
That's where he went to prison after jerking it in Florida.
Shock fog.
I want to see... Steven, you need to pitch that to Paul Rubens.
Pee-wee's Big House.
Pee-wee's Big House. Yes, that is great.
Awesome.
Okay, Pee-wee's Big House leading directly into Roadhouse 2.
Can I ram it right up your... Do you like it whole or dice?
Jonathan Scheck pulls another direct-to-video sequel out of his ass.
Didn't we talk about this last week?
Yeah.
They delayed it a week.
They had to add some more features onto the DVD just to get people to buy it.
Hey, hold on, guys. This product isn't fantastic yet. Let's hold it another week. We got some polishing to do.
It wasn't quite ready.
That turd needed a little more polish.
You got
that's a great thing.
With Jonathan Scheck, Jake Busey, and Will Patton, you really need to get a good
shot. Oh, man, I love Will Patton. He was great in The Post, man.
Yeah, we covered this last week.
He was great as Travolta's gay hitman in The Punisher.
Oh, God.
Genius.
He should not have been in that.
Okay, so pick up Roadhouse 2.
All right, Vanessa, it's not that funny.
They delayed it. This week, finally, we get our Roadhouse Deluxe Edition.
Yes, don't be rude.
The tagline on the bottom cover of the DVD,
this is
it's last call for action. Love it. Okay, so this DVD is loaded. It's
Who
got
else
an audio.
In the level car say yay!
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
It's the audio commentary with director Rowdy Harrington, who is a genius.
He is a genius.
And this kills me. This I just cannot wait to hear. Audio commentary with Roadhouse fans Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier from View Askew Productions.
Whoa, that is crazy.
So I hope it's hilarious.
Dude, I'm totally buying that, man.
Yeah.
Hey.
You know what's funny is, Bill, I guess I can talk about it now because it was an idea that came and went, but we had an idea like back episode one of Nowhere in Mulberry.
Yeah.
We were going to do a commentary to Roadhouse where people at home would pop in the DVD in their DVD player or their computer and then listen to our show, and we would do a commentary to Roadhouse.
Yeah, kind of spawned from Ron Moore doing the podcast commentaries for Battlestar Galactica.
Right.
And I still think it would be a great idea for us to do. It's just we haven't really gotten...
It makes me mad that Kevin Smith has stolen our idea.
The feature I want to see the most other than the commentary is, what would Dalton do? The
Are you always going to be that rude and interrupt when I'm trying to talk?
So, Dalton, you know, you got to think, what would Dalton do?
I do think that all the time.
Yeah, I do. When I walk around and, like, somebody gets in my way or pushes me or something, you know, I just kind of take a breath and think, what would Dalton do?
Do you know how often I grab someone's wrist as they're going to throw a punch and I say, don't be rude?
Sometimes I'm really tempted to rip people's throats out.
I'm playing.
That's what I would want to do, rip their throat out.
And often, many people throw stop signs in the windshield of my car.
Yeah, and I really run into a lot of guys with razor blades in their boots.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes people say, you know, I used to f*** guys like you in prison. Genius.
Yeah, and there's also the problem with people that eat the big white mitt in the urinals.
That's my favorite.
My favorite line from that, whenever Sam Elliott says, don't eat the big white mitt.
I think the question I came away with the first time I ever saw Roadhouse was, why is that guy playing the guitar sideways like that on his lap?
And why is he blind?
Because even if you're blind, you can still play it the right way, can't you?
But he's playing it kind of like a steel guitar.
Yeah.
Whenever I watch it, I'm like, he plays that guitar really weird, man.
Okay, next movie, basically another remake of... William Shakespeare's Twelfth Night.
Stephen Shakespeare.
Yeah, Stephen Shakespeare.
Stephen, you were great in that.
She's the Man with Amanda Bynes. Also starring David Cross for some friggin' reason. I guess he needed a paycheck.
Yeah, he needs some money.
Now, I think this is the biggest DVD of the week. An acclaimed film from South Africa called... I still can't pronounce it. Tsotsi? I think that's right.
I think it's just called... I think it's just called Tsotsi.
Okay, yeah. And it's a film by a director, Gavin Hood, and it follows this kid through his trials and tribulations in South Africa, and it's supposed to be incredible. It's got alternative ending, optional commentary with Gavin Hood, who wrote and directed it.
I've heard it's one of the best foreign film of the year.
I think didn't it win the Oscar? I'm almost positive it won the Oscar. So, yeah, that's the DVD of the week that I'm looking forward to most, other than Roadhouse.
She's the Man.
I heard that Hasselhoff loved it.
I vote yes.
Yeah, but Brandy didn't like it.
No, Moesha hated it. What's this Tsotsi shit? I don't like that. But this is how I feel about Moesha.
I'm going to pull her out by her fake boobs and her fake hair and drown her in the pool.
That's just so negative, Jason.
Sorry. I haven't had a session lately, an audit.
You really do need that up again. You need to clear those engrams.
Hey, Bill, have you seen a leprechaun?
Yes, I have.
Who else seen the leprechaun? Say yay!
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 Yo.
And everyone needs to stay tuned for next week when we whip out a new Carl Monday story.
That's right. Let's tease it next week. Perhaps the return of Carl Monday, maybe? Maybe not. Or maybe yes. All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. All right, everybody, that was episode 44 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening to our show. We were happy to bring you things we love. We just love talking about, you know, useless stuff. And I'd like to thank you for listening to that. Also, if you checked out our after the show, I appreciate that. It's us using even more foul language, if you will. You know.
Completely uncensored.
Yeah, completely uncensored. It's like on this show, I have to censor everything because we have such foul mouths, you know. We want this, we want our show to be available for everyone. Isn't that right, Bill? You mother.
Yeah, especially, you know, I Whoa.
What? Now, Vanessa, I would like to thank you for being on the show, and I just want you to go and do that to yourself. So,
yeah,
whatever,
you flaming cocksucker.
Looks like that one got through. Is it right, Steven, you lousy?
Yes, it is, you flaming cock.
Nice.
Vanessa whipping out the cocksucker.
No, Vanessa, that's flaming cock juggler, if you will. Thank you.
My bad, I'm sorry.
Flaming cock
sucker. A lying fat ass and even
a
bitch.
Even Julie can't help herself. She's taking it in on it.
Julie, come on! This is a family show, and I just want to thank everyone for listening to our show, and all I know is that hot dogs are slamming. That's the only thing I got from this show.
Hot dogs are slamming.
What the hell does that even mean? Hey, yeah, so the pate turned out to be hot dogs, but hot dogs are slamming, so hey.
And chicken patties are ghetto.
These things are f***ing ghetto.
These things are f***ing ghetto. These chicken patties, man, they're weird. How is a chicken patty weird?
Because I grew up eating chicken patties.
Now, maybe they are ghetto chicken patties, like made out of sawdust or something, sawdust breading or something.
No, that's the brand, ghetto chicken patties.
All right, everybody, if you'd like to send us an email, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com, or like I said earlier in the show, go to 1206-202-3491, leave us a voicemail, and like I said, you could even send us an MP3 file if you don't want to call a voicemail, send that to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also, every Friday night chats, go to nowhereinmulberry.com, you'll find the link, the NIM chat room. And also, you'll find a link to our forum where you could discuss TV shows, movies, whatever, video games.
Or absolutely nothing, like most people.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? Please post on there anything, because it's a part of me dies every day that I see no one has posted anything.
I posted. I have a video game thing up there right now.
That's not enough. I'm talking about listeners, not people who are on the show.
I know. I posted my own feedback last week.
Yeah. I saw that.
Hey, you're so dreamy.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, I have an opinion.
Oh, oh my God. Oh,
oh
God.
Whoa! Snap!
Now this is podcasting.